this morning. Glad we can still go to the church where God is. How pitiful for people. Go to a church and never sense the presence of the Lord. You may think that your children's not getting nothing, but you'd be surprised what the Holy Ghost is putting in them this morning. We don't need programs and gimmicks, games nor gadgets. We do need the Lord. The Lord can do things in your life that nobody else can do. And I want to remind you, it does pay to serve God. Oh, you might not have a big house and fence and a pretty yard. You might not even be able to drive nice cars, but you'll have something that money cannot buy. And I bless His name this morning. Luke's Gospel, chapter number 6. If you have a Bible and you're willing, we'll stand in honor of the reading of the Word of God this morning. And Luke's Gospel, chapter number 6. I won't preach long. I'd like this family to come back and sing us one song of invitation today. I appreciate people responding to the stirrings of the Lord. If you're glad you saved, say amen this morning. I'd like to preach out of a passage today that I've never preached out of in Luke 6 and 6. It's one of the miracles that the Lord did. By the way, I still believe in miracles. I believe in the Lord of miracles. I don't believe any man has the gift of miracles today. But I do believe there's a God on His throne that's still doing miracles. Luke 6:6, and it came to pass. Also on another Sabbath that He entered into the synagogue and He taught, and there was a man whose right hand was withered. The scribes and Pharisees watched Him whether He would heal on the Sabbath day that they might find an accusation against Him. But He knew their thoughts and said to the man which had the withered hand, "Rise up and stand forth in the midst." And he arose and stood forth. Then said Jesus unto them, "I will ask you one thing. Is it lawful on the Sabbath days to do good or to do evil? To save life or destroy it?" And looking round about upon them all, He said unto the man, "Stretch forth thy hand." And he did so. And his hand was restored whole as the other. They were filled with madness and communed one with another what they might do to Jesus. You may be seated this morning. Father, we bless You for the good day. Now I pray You let preaching be easy a few moments. God, I humble myself. And I realize there will be no preaching unless You do the preaching. Lord, I'm a needy preacher today. And I pray that You would help me to be a blessing to the people of God. Thank You for this family that You've used to stir our heart with the Spirit of God today. I pray for those here that are lost, those that have needs. I pray that You reveal Yourself to them today. Help our nation, O God, I pray. I pray You touch our president. God, would You heal him and touch him and protect him. Give him wisdom and unction and direction. Oh God, would You help our nation? You said that, and You showed You're a God of mercy. Oh, God, I pray You'd help us now today. In Jesus' name I ask. Amen. And amen. I'd like to preach out this text this morning on this simple thought. Withered hands and wayward hearts. Withered hand, but wayward hearts. Now in this passage, Jesus chose to do something on the Sabbath day. We realize that when the Lord went to Calvary's cross and died, that on the third day He was raised. He was alive. I'm glad He's still alive this morning. So from that day and that hour, you'll find the disciples now meeting in the upper room on the first day of the week. Now the Lord's Day. God intended that one day be given to man that he may rest and he may honor God. And now we do that on the first day of the week. I think it's a very special day set aside. But here we find within the context of this passage, we see in verse 7, first of all, there are hearts that were wayward. Hearts that were wayward. You'll notice in verse 7 that the scribes and the Pharisees watched Him. Whether He would heal on the Sabbath day that they might find an accusation against Him. The hearts that was wayward. You'll notice, first of all, there's the presence of those folks. They came to church. I'm reminded today it's still a group of people like these scribes and Pharisees. They still come to the house of God. We see here within their wayward hearts, there was their presence. They showed up. You know, I wouldn't be waiting for no hypocrites to never come to church, because hypocrites has always been in church. I quit looking for excuses not to come to the house of God. But we'll see these wayward hearts, they were present. But then in verse 7, you'll notice not only were they present, but they were plotting. For He said that they were looking to find an accusation against Him. It reminds me of Baptists that pull up in the parking lot. They've not come looking for a blessing. They've come to make an accusation about somebody. I'd be careful what I said about somebody. They were scribes and Pharisees. You ever went to church with them folks? They took notes. They didn't take notes about what the man of God is preaching. They're taking notes about what everybody was a-doing and a-wearing and a-saying. They're a-writing it down. I give you something to write down this morning. Jesus saves. The Bible's still right. Our country's in a mess, but the God of the Bible is the answer to our nation this morning. So we see these wayward hearts. They came for that purpose, for that intent, to find something that is wrong. If you have that type of approach about God's house, let me give you some good advice. Change your approach. You see, they came as Snoop Dogs looking, writing stuff down. I'd be careful what you write about other folks, because you might not know their heart. But I will remind you, Jesus knows everybody's heart. For within the Word of God, the Bible simply told us that Jesus knew even what they were thinking. The heart that was wayward, we see their presence, we see their plotting. Look in verse 7, that they might find, they come snooping. I've heard people come, say, we're going to go to Liberty Baptist Church and find something wrong. We don't like that preacher. He's too loud over there. I heard people don't run him. I've heard a board of deacons don't tell him what to preach. We're going to come to find. And I heard so-and-so goes down there. I'm going to go down there and see how they act. It's not about how they act. It's about how you act. We see these wayward hearts. We see their presence. We see their, no doubt, their plotting. But lastly, look at their progression in verse number 11. The Bible said they were filled with madness and communed one with another what they might do to Jesus. I'm going to say, this old world's been plotting a long time how to get rid of Jesus. That's one of the problems in the day and the hour in this nation. They're wanting to do away with Jesus. For Jesus brings conviction. Jesus brings standards. Jesus brings life and light. But people love darkness. This morning, not only do we see the hearts that was wayward, but won't you look secondly that really grabbed my attention? There's a hand that was withered. Not only the hearts that was wayward, but now let's look in verse 6. It's loaded. The hand that was withered. Look in verse number 6. For the Bible says it came to pass that on another Sabbath. Boy, aren't you glad? Hey, ain't you glad what He done last Sunday? He's still willing to do it this Sunday, honey. God ain't out of business. Just because He done something for you last week don't mean He can't do it this week. He done it on another Sabbath day too. He entered a synagogue. Now watch. And He taught. There was a man whose right hand was withered. The hand that was withered. You'll notice, first of all, notice the hurt of this hand. The word withered, you know what it means? He was not born with that deformity. But he had use of his hand, but it no longer worked. Now, it withered away. Could you imagine? A lot of times we take so many things for granted. Our brain looks at our hand and it responds to those motor skills. Could you imagine that the hurt that this man had experienced, he used to could use his hand, but he no longer could use it. This morning you'll notice that his eyes were not a problem. Some of us may be here and we need our eyes touched today. Maybe we need to see lost people in ways that we've never seen. Maybe we need to see this hour that's coming up on our nation and our churches and our family like we've never seen. It really bothers me that people can't see what's happening. It was not his eyes. It was not his ears. No doubt he could hear. I wonder, as Brother Samuel had preached and sang this morning, I wonder how your ears are affected. Do you hear His voice? It was not His ears. It was not His eyes. It was not His lips. Maybe some here today that God needs to work on our lips. The things we say. The hurtful words. And we say things before we really think about what we're saying. I'm glad He's a great physician, can touch our eyes, our ears, our lips. It was not His feet or the legs that was His problem. That may be need fixing on some of us today of where we're going, what we're doing, or what we're not doing, or where we're going. But within this passage, you'll notice that the Bible spoke that he had a withered right hand. This hand that was withered, we notice his hurt. Now, somewhere or the other, you'll read about this a lot of times. Many Bible scholars, they draw a conclusion that somewhere or another, he hurt his hand. Something happened. I wonder, the things that you've been doing for God, the things you used to do, you no longer do. I wonder, did that come from a hurt? Did that come from an affliction? I wonder, maybe did he fall down? Did he make a mistake? And by the way, in this life, you be sure of this, honey. There's a lot of people make mistakes and they fall down and hurt themselves. I was talking with a pastor yesterday. His dad had a withered hand. His sister, his aunt, this man's sister, they had him in a wheelbarrow. They was going down a hill as a young kid, and she dumped him, and it hurt his hand in such a way that they didn't have the money to fix his hand, so he was raised his total life. He drove a school bus. He would stop, and he would reach with that good hand, and he'd open the door of the school bus, but his hand was withered. You got any idea how important our hand is this morning? So we see this hand that was withered. No doubt within this text we see that it was hurt. But not only his hurt, but look at his hindrances. The Bible was specific to say. Matter of fact, Luke was a physician. He was a doctor. He was a man that analyzed, and he wrote down specifics that other Gospels didn't. The only time it's mentioned in his right hand is in Luke's Gospel. But that reminds us, the right hand is the hand of strength and of power. The Holy Ghost was specific to say that it was his right hand. The hand that was withered, not only his hurt, but his hindrance. I wrote these down. I want you to think just a minute. You see, his right hand could no longer do some things. His hand could no longer reach. I wonder what's happened to you to make your hand quit working to reach. To reach others. To reach a hand out and say, I want to help you up. I don't want to throw you under the bus. I want to get you up and help you for the glory and the grace of God. What's happened to your hand in reaching? You'll notice the hindrance of this hand, not only in its reaching, but I want to say secondly, what about its releasing? Some of you, some people have done something to you, but you just can't let go of it. The hand will not respond to what it needs to do. Wouldn't that help us all this morning at Liberty Baptist Church? The people that has done bad things to us, said bad things, hurtful things, wouldn't that be a blessing if you could just release that with your right hand this morning? Oh Lord, I'm getting help on my own preaching today. I'm going to tell you, it does good when you can get this hand to react and release. Release. Let things go. Let God handle it. Let God be God. Not only His reach, not only His release, but I thought about this. What about His response? You ever had anybody wave at you? If you live down Wee Dowie, they're going to wave at you on that highway to Wee Dowie. You watch. It's a custom. It's amazing. Everybody does this. You ever notice anybody does this to you unless you're cross-eyed and mean as a polecat? You won't do this to you. But maybe your hand's been hurt and now you can't respond. It'd do some of y'all real good to learn to say, how y'all doing? It'd do you good, even though in this social distancing, you could reach out and do a fist bump every now and then. Respond. Has anybody been good to you? I wonder about this. I wonder how many times he'd love to raise his hand up and throw it up and respond to the Lord and say, thank you, dear God, with his hand open, but his hand is withered. Some of you need to get your hand fixed this morning so you can raise it up to the God of glory and say, thank you
thank you for how good you've been to me today. His hand was withered. How it happened, I don't know. But I do know this. He used to had motion of it. But no longer. It was withered. We see this reach of the hand. This response of the hand. This release of the hand. But what about the reinforcement of this hand? Now, Parker, he's 10. He eats about 5 star crunches a day. Somebody say amen. He getting to be a big old boy. Brother Steve, we was on the bed wrestling the other day. He got me by my left arm and pinned me. I said, hold on, buddy. You let Pop get this right hand. This right hand produces strength. What are you talking about, Brother Ken, on the right hand of strength? I'm simply saying it's time for God's people to reinforce this Bible, reinforce Holy Ghost Church, and reinforce godly living power of the good grace of God. Reinforce. Now you might mess with me in my left hand. Don't let me get this right loose. I'm still good one crack. Somebody save me. Could you imagine wanting to reinforce things, but his hand hung, withered? What's happened to your hand this morning? Was it hurt way back there and it's never been restored? Did it come by an accident? Did it come by a fall? Did it come by a mistake? You know, mistakes happen so easy. I don't know if anybody woke up this morning with many intentions to hurt themselves. Might have come by an accident. I remember one time, Brother Lee, I was sitting in a rifle scope for my deer rifle. Brother Jerry, I got that thing dead center just right, and I had on them boots that laced up with them eyelets. I was in a bunch of vines where I was at. When I stood up, I noticed I went to tripping and a falling. But I hid that deer rifle and I fell right in a rock pile in my ribs. What happened? I got hurt. I didn't intend to. But I got tripped up. This morning, I wonder what has happened to your hand. Hands are so valuable. How we need our hands to work for God. But you'll notice in this text, not only were there wayward hearts, not only was there a withered hand, but you'll notice lastly this morning, there was a healing wonder. A healing wonder. Now, I want to say something because I don't want to forget this. You know where he got help? He got help at church. And even scribes and Sanhedrins were sitting there. He didn't miss going to church. You say, well, Brother Ken, couldn't he have got healed outside? I'm sure he could have. But he found the Lord on the inside. Now watch your Bibles. I'm done preaching. This healing, that was wonderful. Verse 8, there was a command. Look what Jesus told this man. He told him in verse number 8, but he knew their thoughts, and he said to the man which had the withered hand, rise up. Rise up and stand forth in the midst. Now, some of you might not understand this, but this man had a withered hand, and he was, no doubt, there was embarrassment there. Embarrassment. You know, none of us are going to get any help till we embarrass our flesh. I got ready to get my grandchildren up and pray over them a while ago, and the devil said, you're crazy. You're crazy. Why are you crazy?
You see, Jesus brought him in front of everybody. And he had to come honest with God and said, God, I've got an issue. The reason we don't get more help than what we got, because we don't ever get honest with God. But I've noticed when I really need something, it don't matter who's there. Oh, it don't matter who's there. When I need God to do something, it don't matter who's there. He got humble. He got humble. Pride was the last thing in his mind. The reason some of you can't get help because you're full of pride. You're full of pride. That's not going to happen to me and my family. Honey, let me tell you, the devil's no respecter of any family. Whether it's you or whether it's me. So you'll notice within this command, Jesus said, you've got to do something. He said, rise up and stand forth. He said, quit hiding it. I know all about it. And everybody else around you knows it. Why don't you just get honest with me and say, God, I need you this morning. How many times have you walked out of this building and God nudged you to come to the altar to get something handled, but your pride made you sit where you are? Liberty Baptist Church would have the most powerful services if we would lead pride outside, humble ourselves and say, dear God, we need you. Mom and daddies, you need God for your children. Husbands, we need God for our marriage. The command. Fellas, y'all come ahead. I want you to sing. Watch this, his commitment, verse 8. And he arose. It involved action. And I don't want you to miss this. He understood the need for his condition. There was a command. Arise and stand forth. I want you to show me that you really need something. Brother Mike, you know, when I get help, when I take off the mirage, you say, well, preacher, you're the man of God here. You shouldn't have troubles and issues. I want to say, I'll lay on my face before every one of you this morning and say, God, without you, I'll fall. God, without you, nothing works. I've got to have you. I gotta have you, God. Sometimes I have to put my pride to the side and get honest with myself and say, God, I need you to help me. And help's on the way. Oh, I love preaching. Business fixing to pick up for this young man. I wonder how many services he sat there with his hand held low. Wonder how many times that his mind told him to reach, but he couldn't reach. Wonder how many times his mind, his heart told him to release, but it just wouldn't. Stand at attention. But now I want to show you one of the most amazing things about this passage. Jesus told him something, and I don't know if you caught it or not. But he said, stretch forth thy hand, not thy arm. Thy hand, it required faith. Could you imagine when he stood and came before Jesus? He said, Jesus, I've got a great need. And he said, stretch your hand forth. But the devil said, you hadn't done that in years. Could you imagine when it went to this? You know what? I bet the next thing happened, Brother Chris. Then he walked out in the parking lot with his hand up. Went down to Piggly Wiggly, got him some bacon for a BLT for lunch. Down there by the meat counter, everybody walking around. I said, man, what in the world happened to you? He said, I was at church today. said, Jesus passed by. I had a great need. And He told me to come forward. I wonder, is He telling you to come forward this morning? He told me just to come forward and be honest. And He would help me. This morning they're going to sing. I wonder, if you got a need. I know many's responded. But I felt pressed in my heart to preach this message this morning. Jesus said, arise and set forth. Why don't some of you come after God this morning with the needs in your life? While we sang, would you come this morning? Would you?